Okay, the next one, this deals with separation distance requirements between off-premise signs, and then we also have off-premise signs and electronic message centers. We have motion 4A, which deals with both of them in one motion. Motion 4B, which only deals with the distance between off-premise signs and on-premise signs. And then...
Mr. Sharp, what page are we on here?
Well, it goes in a...
Don't go too far in front of us.
So I'll talk about the first one, which is deals with section 159.5B1,
14.
Page 15.
15.
If you were to look there, what we put in the proposed ordinance was that an off-premise sign shall not be erected within 50 feet of an on-premise sign, and an on-premise sign shall not be erected within 50 feet of an off-premise sign. There was some discussion at both planning and zoning and before you that there were some concerns there about somebody not being able to put up a sign on their own property because there may be a billboard nearby, and there was a concern to that effect. What had been proposed at the planning and zoning level is that we would remove that separation distance requirement. There is also, if you were to turn to page 23, and I put these both in the same category because I think they're very similar, but you may wish to break them into two separate motions, and that's fine. If you were to look on page 23 in subsection 4, that deals with separation distance between an on-premise electronic message center and an off-premise sign. And we had some requirements there. You may recall we had some discussion about if you had a sign of a certain size, how far should it be from an off-premise sign, and this incorporated that formula. What had been recommended by PNZ was let's not have that requirement, let's remove it. So that is the second part of that motion 4A. For purposes of if you all wanted to vote, 4B deals with the first part of the motion, 4C deals with the second part. It's been broken down into two in case there was a need for that.
Okay. Anybody have a motion yet? Or
I make a motion.
I have a question.
4A.
What? 4A.
Motion 4A.
I have a question. Okay, you've got a motion on the floor?
Mr. Wilson made a motion to adopt motion 4A. Do we have a second?
Then we have a discussion.
Not at this time.
Okay. We have no say to die for lack of a second.
And now
continue on.
4B does what? 4B is just dealing with on the off-premise sign section. It says that you can't erect an off-premise sign within 50 feet of an on-premise sign and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And how?
I'll make a motion we adopt 4B.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
And the difference between 4B and what we have on our thing is it eliminates that formula.
No. 4B deals is only if you look on page 15, Mr. Cole.
Oh, back to 15.
Back to 15. Mm-hmm.
Back to 15
a minute.
Hold it.
Okay.
Let the record be known that Mr. Cole put forth a motion for 4B.
No, I'm going back to 4. I'm going to withdraw that.
Should we hurry up and second that? Because we could. This could be fun.
I'm not the president, but I'm going to call for order.
Mr. Sharp,
call for order. 4B, that motion deals with page 15. If you were to look on line 652, that is the sentence that would be removed, which deals with where you can put a billboard in relation to an on-premise sign, but also where you can put an on-premise sign in relation to a billboard.
Can I understand? Otherwise, how close could they be? Otherwise, how close?
We put one under the one.
Yeah, there would
one
be
right
no
under.
Separation distance requirement.
You could just see one right after the other.
Correct. Well, no, they could.
But there are setback distance, differing setbacks.
From each other?
Correct. Well, from the front property line,
mm-hmm,
for example.
From the front property.
You have your on-premise sign can be closer to the front property line, and now you all have 40 feet, mm-hmm, from the front property line where the off-premise can be. So there's going, on a new property, there would be some separation, in theory, some separation distance there, at least in that respect.
Because you have on-premises are likely to be,
I think the concern that came up at the planning and zoning level was that there was a concern that somebody might not be able to put a sign up on their prop, their own property because of a off-premise sign that's existing on a neighboring property. That was a concern that had been raised. And there was also a concern of, well, if I want to develop this and I want to be able to put and on-premise sign can also refer to, doesn't specifically say a ground sign, so you could have a wall sign perhaps on your building where maybe you're advertising there as well. That would be something that would be prohibited, and there was some concern raised about that.
If without a separation, if we didn't have any separation, you could have basically coming 25 feet off the, or what is it, 20 feet off the road, you can put a 200 square foot on-premise sign and go back 40 feet, and that could be long ways, not just skinny and straight up, but long ways. And then you've got another, at 40 feet, you got this 300 or maybe even 600 square foot billboard. So you can, in essence, block your neighbor's buildings and businesses, and you have, a negative impact when you have them lined up like a wall. So the 50-foot separation makes, you know, I think makes good sense. It protects the neighboring property owners from being blocked out with some billboards. And then with our new, you know, separations between billboards and stuff, maybe, you know, one guy's going to get penalized because his parcel was located next to a guy who got a permit years ago. So I don't like the idea that get lined up. It makes a solid wall all in the same property, same setback.
So, Mr. Corey, you're looking for a second on your motion?
I like the 50-foot separation. I don't mind what we have. I think what we have was fine. I think it worked.
So do you want to retract your?
Yeah, no, yeah. I'll just not second that one. I think 1A and 1. What are we on? 4A and 4B. 4A and 4B. I'll just not make a motion on either of those, and leave it as is.
As it is today.
In this.
If we don't do anything.
No, as it is in here. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, not not yet. Right. Not their current. Right. Right.
One thing that comes to mind is. Property A has a off-premise sign. Okay. I come along and buy property B, and I want to advertise my business on that property. And there's no way to lay it out with the way Dell documents the advertisement permit or soil conservation with the storm pond or whatever. Could that, in fact, prohibit me from having an on-premise sign?
I think it could. I mean, I think that was a concern that planning and zoning was brought before them, or they articulated, was you could potentially be limiting somebody's ability to put a sign for their own business on their property. Yeah. And the other one that came up was the wall sign concept. That, you know, this may not just prohibit your ability to put up a on-premise sign, you know, ground sign, but also a sign that you may have on your actual building that's a wall sign. So those were the two kind of concerns that were articulated at that level.
Is it possible then to just and that's on our current proposed ordinance add the wording that we would provide for a variance in the case that would happen, that there's variance to be provided in this section for the few cases where we might have a problem placing a sign?
Well, I mean, that's,
we are providing for some limited variances in this ordinance, correct?
Well, as it pertains to the off-premise signs, we're allowing for them in the event that there was, if you look on page 17, that's where we address variances, and it says, except as otherwise permitted, and the code it references is where we're dealing with non-conforming signs, no variances shall be issued from the regulations of this article for off-premise signs. So if you were to put an off-premise sign, you wouldn't be able to get a variance for that.
I'm talking about
the guy who wants his on-premise sign.
You were talking about the on-premise sign. I think that's the thing here. They said you got the off-premise sign because you've got, you know, a setback there, but then you may not have 50 feet to be able to separate the other one. Well, that's where we provide for a variance there, not, you know, and that can be a variance from a non-conforming sign, because we have so many non-conforming billboards, which are currently are only 25 feet. We're only going to see a handful now being placed back 40 feet, because you don't get that many new billboards each year. But so what we're dealing with is mostly non-conforming up close. So again, with most of the billboards, 99% of them currently are probably 25 feet or in that range. we ought to be separating them. Because we do have situations where they're, you know, they're one under another, and you don't no need to have that much signed. And again, you'd make a blank wall.
I think if we were to do that, Mr. Cole, we would certainly have to amend that section I just read to you.
I thought that was for non-conforming.
Unless you wanted to say...
the non-conforming would be the billboard, but if you needed to go 50 feet from that non-conforming billboard, and you, that's not... I mean, that would be conforming. That
We could add a sentence at the end of this one section that I just read to you, subsection 6, that says variances... I'd have to wordsmith it, but you okay. could say something of the lines of variances may be granted for on-premise signs which do not meet the setback distance requirement from off-premise signs as set forth in
that would be one. That would be wouldn't that make it, Rob? Wouldn't that
that protects it.
Well, business owner. Do away with the 50 feet thing.
And if you're inclined to do that, Mr. Vincent, then motion 4B would be all you would need at that.
Right. But, Mike, if you have a current billboard, non-conforming, it's going to be 25 feet off the road, which so many of them are, they could literally put it right underneath, and you've just basically made a 30, you know, and some of them have got the variances for height and everything, but whatever the height is, and a big, you got a 300-square-foot sign or a 600-square-foot sign, and then you have another 200-foot sign right under it, you've got literally just a wall. A visual wall, and I don't know if that's in anybody's advantage except the guy, that parcel, the next parcel, which we need to be concerned about other businesses, my God. I mean, signage can really be have an impact.
And what you just said, would they both then be on-premise signs?
No, there's currently...
So if it's an off-premise sign...
You got
the big... So what you're saying is if I got a piece of property, and I've got... off-premise sign on that property.
Right now.
Then I decide to put a building on that property.
Right.
And I want to advertise my business.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying I can put one of them underneath the other?
Yes, we've seen that. We got that situation already. Then I got the business next to you. Mm-hmm. And you're 25 feet off the road. And you've got under... And then at least right now you can look underneath the poles and you might see something. But if you got something under the poles and above the poles, you've got basically literally a blank wall, which would have a an impact on other properties. You ride down the highway, you can see the situation, or you could actually easily do it. But I just think if we give the option of a variance, that means they could come in and say, you know, we'd like to 25 feet. They consider it because of the situation and go from there. So, I mean, that would just give them the advantage to do it. But it prevents making... big wall, you know, signs that will be from. How high is it? How high is an on-premise sign from the ground?
On-premise.
Yeah. What is an on-premise sign from the ground? I know we got what 20. What's
25 feet? 25.
On-premise.
Yeah.
And off-premise is also what 20. 25.
So both. Well, in your proposed ordinance, it could go to 35.
Right. I know that. Okay, but we're dealing mostly with non-conforming signs that are at the lower level.
Well, the other concern that was raised at planning and zoning level was the impact of what could be somebody else's property. So say your neighbor had a non-conforming off-premise sign that did not meet the setback requirements, it may limit your ability to put your sign on your property, whether it be a wall sign or a ground sign. So that was a concern that was raised as well. So I think there was a concern of, wait a minute, my neighbor's doing this, and now I can't do... advertise
okay,
my
so
business.
It's not on that. It's not 50 feet from a off-premise sign on your parcel.
It's just 50 feet.
It's 50
in
feet
jail.
From an off-premise sign who's maybe on somebody else's
correct.
Parcel.
Mm-hmm. Correct. The way it's written, yeah.
But to get rid of that 4B would get rid of that.
Get rid of that whole separation distance requirement. Yep. And 4C would do something similar with EMCs. I realize that that had a more of a formula. It was a little more complicated, but from a conceptual standpoint, as far as the reason P&Z went that direction, was the same idea.
Mike, let me ask this question to Jay. If all these go to special use exceptions anyway, correct? Does the board have the ability to say to put a distance in there?
Yeah, board can put conditions as to, you know.
They can put a condition in there of separation.
I have a question.
Mrs. Deaver.
I was listening to, okay, say you have a piece of property and you have a off-premise sign on it. Then you build your store on that property and you want to put a sign on the front of your store. But that off-premise sign is not off-premise anymore if it advertises your business.
You have an off-premise sign that's advertising.
Advertising somebody's business.
Well, that won't change.
And now you want to make it a sign that advertises your business.
Well, you want to have a store that advertises your store and on-premise sign.
Mm-hmm. Well, provided that sign, because remember, we also have different height and size requirements mm-hmm. for off-premise signs.
Okay.
So if you were going to go that route, the sign would have to make sure it fits our on-premise sign, which is smaller and shorter.
Right.
But if it does, then, you know, if it met all the standards, then I don't see why you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't have a 600 square foot
on-premise
sign.
No,
yeah,
no,
say,
I'm just
selling donuts.
I'm just, my question is, I was assuming an off-premise sign, you can advertise any business on a piece of property, provided, you know, it's within the code. It doesn't have to be the business that sits there.
No.
Right, that's off-premise,
for
right?
For off-premise, correct, yes.
Okay. And say you want on that same lot, you want to build a store, and you want to build a business, and you want to put a sign on for your business, which might be different from what's being advertised. How does that work? Does that
they come in and get a permit and put
well,
a sign.
I mean, you could still have that off-premise sign.
Advertising
somebody else.
You can there will absolutely be properties that are going to be zoned commercial where someone is going to have an off-premise sign on there and at some point want to put a business on, and then they're going to want to have their ground sign. And that's
sure.
what we're looking at
mm-hmm.
here is do
mm-hmm.
you want to have a
sure.
separation distance requirement between those signs?
Mm-hmm. All right.
So,
okay.
I mean,
just
oh,
the
I
separation.
Mm-hmm.
We're just talking about separation.
I see what Mr. Deaver talked about because when I first came on the council here about 7-8 years ago, they had a guy bought a piece of property, and then he wanted to change the words. And when he changed the words on, it said, we want to advertise Point Arrow that the business is at their place. I think that's what kind of blew me away. Why change the words going to bother anybody? I think it's a big deal to change. Why can't it just change the words?
So you're saying somebody with an off-premise sign on a piece of property and wants to convert that to an on-premise sign, maybe the board should be able to have the ability to grant that variance.
I would think so. What's different when you change words, George? It's,
I understand,
it's
on-premise signs are limited to 200.
It's a sign that sits on their
right.
property, and if all you want to do is just change words, what's the big deal?
It's a sign.
Why you can't just, it's a sign there, why not just change words?
Mr. Jamie, the one he's talking about was on the way to Laurel.
On the way to, maybe on Route 9.
Route 9, where a guy had an off-premise sign, put it, I guess, some kind of warehouse building there, and anyway, wanted to turn it into an on-premise sign. Did he come in for a variance to get that done? Can you ask for a variance to take an off-premise sign and ask for a variance to make that an on-premise sign? Currently, under what we do today.
Mr. Lank may be the better one to answer that than I. I don't recall that one coming before the board.
The one on Route 9 was
that's one going to Harvard.
Well, he maybe didn't change it. I'm just saying, would that applicant?
If your sign was, if your off-premise sign meant the size of an on-premise sign.
Well, I know that. I understand that. But another guy, no, he had one. It was, say, 300 square feet.
Okay.
Actually,
so bigger than.
On the Laurel Road, they're advertising something, in Georgetown. And he puts his business there, and he wants to convert that to his sign. Say, here I am. Does the current variance process permit that man to do that?
I think it would.
I think,
yeah.
Huh?
I mean,
it would.
I mean, we've seen it with wall signs.
He could
have. See why not?
He could have done that.
He could not have done that because they asked him about.
We
had a hearing about that, George, and right here.
And he decided not to. He decided not to.
And we decided you can't do that. We said it's illegal.
Okay.
Let's get back on motion four. Does anybody care to make a motion of any of these motions proposed?
Well,
I make a motion on plan zone recommendation.
So that would be motion 4A?
4A.
That would be correct.
4A.
Would you let me read that in the record?
Please, yes.
I move that we amend the second introduced ordinance as follows. Delete the last sentence of section 115-159.5B1, which states, an off-premise sign shall not be erected within 50 feet of an on-premise sign, and an on-premise sign shall not be erected within 50 feet of an off-premise sign. The second part of that motion is to delete section 115-161.1A4 and redesignate the following subsection accordingly.
And motion 4A is, removes the separation district requirement for on-premise EMCs and off-premise EMCs. So we're looking to have two EMCs there on the one parcel, right? By supporting that one.
It's the separation distance between an on-premise EMC and an off-premise sign, not an off-premise EMC.
So we could, with no separation distance, we can have both EMCs on 200 square foot on-premise and 300 square foot off-premise, almost side by side or underneath.
This separation distance requirement was not specific to off-premise EMCs. It's only to on-premise EMCs and off-premise signs.
Well, what's this?
So it's removing that restriction.
We have a motion, Mr. Wilson. Do we have a second?
Well, I've got a clarification or question, if I may, Mr. President. So the way the current...
Lack of a second, Mr. Arlett.
Yeah, I think we may come back to it there, Mr. Wilson.
You can make a motion and they could discuss it then.
Well, before I vote on a motion, I want to make sure I know what we're doing here. So
okay.
we may come back to that.
Sorry to spend so much time.
Well, it's important each vote, is it not? And clarification. So we'd want to vote just for the sake of voting. So if we do nothing, Mr. Sharp, as it sets right now, and I'm looking on page 15, correct?
Yes.
Page 15 down at the bottom there. The setback is 40, which we already voted on, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then down towards the bottom there, in the end, there will be a separation between the on and off premise signs, correct? If we do nothing.
If you do nothing, that's correct.
And that differential is 50 feet.
That's correct.
And it's in this ordinance because we did have a consensus on that.
I believe it was, yes.
And we could provide for a variance.
Mm-hmm.
If there
well,
is.
That's a separate issue, but I mean...
If we leave it the way it is, and the thing that you're, like you just stated, probably the best thing to do would be add a provision for a variance.
In a separate section, though, correct? That's in a separate
already.
Section.
Okay.
So we can address that in a different section.
Okay, that'd be the next motion then.
So, therefore, I would move forward with a motion of, of nothing, actually.
I'll second that.
Well, I don't know if that's a motion that we need to do.
I know.
Don't need a motion.
But, so if we do nothing, we do have a little separation in the setbacks,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, it is a greater distance with the EMCs. Potentially, because we're looking at the size of the EMC.
Right.
So it's a little, could be more than 50 feet there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, is that in this section that we were about to vote on, that differential between the distances?
Yes, that was part of 4A and all 4C is that one.
Well, where is that in the ordinance?
Page 23.
Page 23. Okay, let's just reconfirm that.
While they're reconfirming that, just for my benefit, one more time, explain to me what a person has to do now that wants to put a sign for his own business on his own property
mm-hmm.
that's closer than 50 feet to an off-premise sign.
I believe at this point, I think you'd have I mean, there's no variances allowed.
He can't advertise his business.
Yeah. I mean, I think we would, if you were to go that route, you would probably want to have something in there that if council wanted to, that said for a variance for that limited purpose.
It's reasonable.
Which was Mr. Cole's point, which is your point, but that would be addressed in a different section, correct?
Yeah.
A permissible of variances.
Yeah, there is some recommendations here, I think, on variances that comes up from, I believe, the sign folks, motion 13. So if we wanted to address that, then perhaps that would be the time to do it.
To permit variances on those on-premise signs to ensure that the business owner has the ability to market his business.
Correct.
Okay.
I will note that the language in paragraph 20, page 23, paragraph 4, there is a specific prohibition on variances from that separation requirement. So you may want to keep that in mind.
Okay. We have no motion then for number 4. Just everybody keep in mind, what we've done right now is taken away a person's ability to advertise their business.
Potentially.
I said right now.
I've made a note when we get to 13, Mr. Yeah. President, that we will go back to that topic.
We will move down to number 5.
Thank you. This one, you may recall there was a discussion about what is the appropriate separation distance between churches, schools, dwellings, and public lands. The introduced ordinance, as it is on page 15, states that it would be 150 feet from the property which is used in that regard, not necessarily from the dwelling, but or from the church with the lands that they have it. The planning and zoning recommended that we go back to 300 feet, which was the distance noted in our current code. We did clarify that it would be measured at the edge of the sign on a radius, so it would be clear on that regard. But that is the suggested change. I will note that that was something also recommended by the sign industry.
From the property line?
Not from the property line, from the sign. Right now what we do is if you have a billboard mm-hmm. and say there's a church there, we're right. measuring from that edge of that billboard to mm-hmm. the edge of that church. Mm-hmm. And if it's more mm-hmm. than 300 feet, you're okay. If you're not, you're not. Mm-hmm. What had been proposed in the proposed ordinance was we would measure 150 feet, so lesser radius, but only to the property line.
If somebody had a vacant lot, where do you measure from? Because dwelling now can be a dwelling.
I believe Mr. Robinson.
So how would you measure 300 feet from a vacant lot?
I believe it's one that's actively being marketed as a residential.
Yeah, okay, but where would you measure from? The property line?
Property line, in that case.
Well, then why don't we use the property line? Right.
I think that was the discussion we had earlier, was because in the event, the discussion was, there was two sides to that as it relates to the difficulty requiring a surveyor, if I recall. That was part of the issue, was you know, determining where those property lines were. But I think the other concern was if the school, in that example, if we didn't do it on the property line, the school, if they wanted to expand or add more buildings to get closer to that property line, all of a sudden now they're closer to that billboard.
Right.
So that's why I think in the end it was decided that it would be best to do it based on the property line, not to prevent a church or a school from adding and get closer to a potential billboard. Correct? If I'm not mistaken?
Well, what he just stated about the vacant lot discussion, basically we're giving more protection to a vacant lot than we are to structures like schools, churches, et cetera. So it doesn't make sense that we make the property line the point of measurement for a vacant lot versus, you know, the other way. So I would suggest that we just stick with vacant lot and move on.
Yep. I would agree.
Anybody want to make any motions to change it?
If we do nothing, it stays with property lines.
Right. Correct.
Right. At 150 feet.
150 feet from property.
Okay. What happens, this is this devil's advocate here. I guess you have to buy more land. Okay, never mind.
Okay.
Never mind, so we haven't got, nobody wants to make a motion here?
If you keep it in the style, baby.
You're correct, Sam. Whatever.
The next one, and this is the one that Mr. Moore had referenced earlier for
Mr. Cole.
We're going to go eat lunch.
No, you're not. Are you going to miss a lot of boots?
Darn.
Might be a good thing.
Number 6.
Sam, if we do anything on farming, you're out of here.
This deals with temporary construction signs and temporary real estate signs.
Right.
I do want to point out in your motion 6A, and what I did was 6A incorporates both construction and real estate. 6B solely deals with real estate. 6C solely deals with construction. I did that in case we needed to vote on them separately.
Okay.
I did make one change in that, in reviewing what P&Z had put forth. They had stated that temporary real estate sign could be up to 32 square feet, non-illuminated, provided that a temporary real estate sign for the sale of a single dwelling in a recorded subdivision shall not exceed 10 square feet.
I added rental or lease because that was something that should have been carried over from the initial part, because when we talk about 32 square feet, it's sale, rental, or lease. So we wanted to make sure that language was consistent. Okay.
So 6A does all the things, correct?
6A does all the things that have been recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Anyone care to make a motion? Anyone care to make a motion? I'll give the gavel to Mr. Wilson, wherever it is. I'll make the motion that we adopt motion 6A.
Second.
Would you like me to read that in?
Please, let me ask for a second.
Mm-hmm. Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver.
Okay.
Please read it in.
I move that we amend the second introduced ordinance as follows. Amend the first sentence of section 115-159G to state a temporary real estate sign indicating sale, rental, or lease of the premises on which it is located, with a maximum area of 32 square feet of sign area per side, non-illuminated, and one sign for each street frontage on which the premises abuts, provided, however, that no temporary real estate sign for the sale, rental, or lease of a single dwelling in a recorded subdivision shall exceed 10 square feet of sign area per side. Second part of that motion is to delete the phrase, quote, comma, back to back from the last sentence in section 115-159G. Third section is to amend section 115-160B3 to state, quote, temporary non-illuminated signs not exceeding 32 square feet of sign area per side, advertising real estate for sale or lease, or announcing contemplated improvements of real estate and located on the premises with no more than two sides or facings, with one such sign for each street or road frontage, provided, however, that no temporary real estate sign for the sale, rental, or lease of single dwelling in a recorded subdivision shall exceed 10 square feet of sign area per side. Lastly, amend section 115-160B4 to state temporary non-illuminated signs shall not exceeding 32 square feet of sign area per sign in connection with new construction work and displayed on the premises during such time as the actual construction work is in progress, with one such sign for each street frontage with no more than two sign faces, provided, however, that no temporary sign for new construction work on a single dwelling in a recorded subdivision shall exceed 10 square feet of sign area per side.
So, and the slight revision as P&Z version didn't include rental or lease in this.
I think it was a typo when it was typed up.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Robertson may be able to opine better, but what it said there was just a temporary real estate sign for the sale of a single dwelling in a recorded subdivision. And because we're talking about lease and rental as well, it made sense to make sure that it was consistent with the beginning part of that as well.
So what do you have on rental signs? What kind of limits do you have?
If it's 32 square feet, but mm-hmm. if it's in a recorded subdivision for a single dwelling in a recorded subdivision, it'd be 10 square feet. So we're talking the same, you know, if you've got a mm-hmm. you know, bigger mm-hmm. sign for, you know, but it's smaller if you're in a recorded subdivision.
Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
No.
I vote yes. Motion defeated. Okay.
I misunderstood you all ago. I thought you said if he didn't make any motion. Did issue. But no,
there was a motion made.
But there was a
the motion made to approve what P&Z recommended.
I sit here and didn't make no motion because I thought that we had no motion, it did issue.
Yes, but in this case, it was a situation where when the Planning and Zoning reviewed this, they saw that there was an issue with the size of the realtor signs traditionally, and even in our current code, that traditionally they use 4x8 sheets of plywood, and under our current code that was not allowed. This was putting that back in mm-hmm. so they could use that.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is putting it back in.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of those things that was just caught at the P&Z level and was brought to the attention of the county that, hey, this is something that should be changed.
There are hundreds of these signs in the county that now are going to be illegal.
That's good for them.
Okay, we'll move number seven.
That makes sense. Okay.
Number seven, please, sir.
Okay. Measurement of sign brightness. This deals, there had been a suggestion at the P&Z level, and I believe it was made to clarify how we handle nits and foot candles. The recommendation, I'm just trying to find the right page so I can direct you to it. I believe it's page 21. The way that it is currently in our ordinance is that nits and an applicant, an owner of an electronic message center must meet 750 nits for a illuminated luminance level, and they must meet 0.3 foot candles. There was a technical kind of clarification there that would redesignate kind of a reshuffling so that it is a little clearer. So what we would put in there is all illuminated signs, including electronic message centers, shall comply with the following maximum luminance standards. And then we would be creating, instead of 5 and 6, we would be creating 5A and 5B, which would then outline those standards that we have listed. I do note that one of the things that was brought up at the P&Z level, and I believe maybe before you as well, was that it would say one of the following. That posed a bit of a concern at the staff level, because we may be measuring one way, and if we may not have a way to prove that they didn't meet the other. So this would basically provide that they have to meet both, and if we have the technology for one over the other, we can enforce it one or the other.
Okay. We're going to make a motion for number seven.
So that's an improvement, right? That clears things up.
It's a okay. Technical thing.
Yeah, I'll make a motion. Yeah. We support motion number seven.
I'll adopt motion number seven. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Should I read it?
Mr. Arnett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Mr. Vincent, should I read it?
Yes, I'm sorry.
How many more we got?
A long day.
I understand.
No, wait. Right, let me ask a question. Should we take a break?
Let them read as we'll go through it again. So
okay. You want to have a break, George?
I move that we amend the second introduced ordinance as follows. The existing section 115-161B5 should be redesignated as section 115-161B5A. The existing section 115-161B6 should be redesignated as section 115-161B5B. Insert at the beginning of section 115-161B5 the phrase, all illuminated signs, including electronic message centers, shall comply with the following maximum luminance standards. Amend the first sentence of the new section 115-161B5A to state, no illuminated sign, including electronic message centers, shall have a maximum luminance level greater than 750 nits at least 1/2 hour before apparent sunset, as determined by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, parentheses NOAA, United States Department of Commerce, for the specific geographic location and date. Amend the first sentence of the new section 115-161B5B to state, no illuminated sign, including electronic message centers, shall have a maximum illuminance level greater than 0.3 foot candles above ambient light as measured using a foot candle meter and or similar technology at a preset distance.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. To adopt motion seven.
All of that.
Questions on the motion? Mrs. Deaver, we'll vote with Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arnett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I guess motion carried. We're going to move to number eight, and we're going to take a short pause for something to eat.
Number eight, this deals with non-conforming signs. There was a recommendation, and I'm going to get to the right page for you. If you were to turn to page 26 in the ordinance, this would amend the first sentence of that paragraph A, which currently says that a non-conforming off-premise sign may be maintained and remain as a permitted non-conforming structure unless abandoned or totally destroyed. What this would state instead of that is that it may remain or periodically be maintained as a permitted non-conforming structure unless abandoned or intentionally removed. The balance of that section would remain, which would limit expansion of a sign or and only that it may be reconstructed or re-erected if it meets the standards set elsewhere.
Why, what was the problem with totally destroyed? Hard to define it?
I think there was a concern there that if someone had built a sign, had it up there, and say somebody ran off the road and hit it, or if it was knocked down in a storm,
okay,
that we're treating that differently than we would other non-conforming structures in a similar realm. So the idea there was it would be consistent with what you would do with a house if that would happen.
Well, some of these old wooden signs, for instance, if they got in such disrepair and they seem to be dangerous because they've been neglected or appear to be abandoned, that could be fixed up?
Well, ones that are abandoned would not be allowed to be maintained and must, and that one is clear, and we have a prohibition on abandoned off-premise signs.
And how long does abandoned mean? Who determines abandoned?
I believe it was 6 months. We've gone through that in the definitions that we talked about before, Mr. Cole.
Okay. So, I mean, to determine whether a sign has been abandoned will it be complaint-driven, do you think, or is it will be something that...
I don't have the crystal ball, but I know we're a complaint-driven.
And a lot of stuff. Oh, yeah, and a lot of stuff.
So,
I mean, some things you shouldn't be complaint-driven, but...
How often do they have to renew the permit?
Mr. Wilson?
I feel it's only fair to send these people a letter if they're saying the signs are abandoned, because if they don't, they could be out of town and gone for 6 months. Who knows how long they're going to be gone? At least we should notify them, let them know the signs are being removed. Or you're no longer going to be in compliance with the county.
I believe that would be something the staff would be handling.
Yes, sir.
And to answer your question, Mrs. Mm-hmm. Deaver, the permits are for a year.
Okay, so as long as they're permitted, right?
Mm-hmm. Is that right, Ms.?
So if it wasn't renewed, that would give us a clue.
Okay.
Anyone, can I make a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole, to motion adopt seven. Motion number eight.
Yes, number eight, I'm sorry.
Would you like me to
do
read
have
that?
A second? Yeah, do we have
yes,
a second?
I'll do a second.
Have a second, Mrs. Deaver. Please read the.
Okay, I amend that. We have moved to amend the second introduced ordinance as follows: amend the first sentence of section 115-161.2A to state, quote, a non-conforming off-premise sign may remain and be periodically maintained as a permitted non-conforming structure unless abandoned or intentionally removed.
Any questions on the motion?
No. I'm assuming if somebody wanted to renew the permit. But they're not doing business there anymore. They wouldn't be able to do that then.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yeah, I'll vote yes.
Mr. Arnett.
I guess it's probably too late to ask a question now, but I will vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
We have motion carried.
Next.
Entertain a motion to recess.
So moved.
Lunch for about a half hour.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second.
Mr. Wilson.
Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole, yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. We're going to go downstairs and grab a piece of pizza and head back up here.
Mm-hmm.